Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Good morning. It's great to see everyone. I want to remind the brothers that Friday night we're going to be having our men's night out. Sisters, you need to kick him out of the house. Okay, we're going to hang out. We're going to all be together at Dave and Buster's at Sugarloaf Mall. They changed the name. It used to be Discover Mills. Now they call it Sugarloaf whatever. But you know where I'm talking about. So we're going to be at Dave and Buster's on Friday night at 7 p.m. Amen? So, sisters, kick him out of the house. He needs to go hang out with the brothers, with the bros. Amen? We're going to do that Friday. And then I know you sisters are doing your thing in a couple of weeks after that. So that's exciting. Also, I want to remind the family group leaders, we have our meeting this afternoon at 5 p.m. at the usual place. There's some people visiting us from out of town that I'd like to welcome at this time. Brother Samuel Ori from the church in Macon, Georgia. Welcome. And also Ken and Kat Watson from the church in Auburn, Alabama. Where are you guys? It's great to see you guys. I'm also very excited to announce that our sister Vicky Hill was restored this week. Vicky, where are you? There she is. And I'm also very excited to announce that at 1:30 this afternoon, Stephen and Heather Roca are going to be getting baptized. Awesome. That's going to be at 1:30 this afternoon at the Lynn's house, 2669 Sherman Oaks Drive in Snellville. 2669 Sherman Oaks Drive in Snellville. We all desire to be close to God. And if you and I are really honest, of all the characters in the scriptures, the person that was the closest to God was Jesus himself. And we see him always and constantly praying. We're told one time in Mark 1:16 that very early in the morning he left the house and found a solitary place where he prayed. We're told in Luke 5:16 that Jesus will withdraw very often to just go be with God. In Luke 9:18, we're told that at one point again he was praying in private. In Luke 6, verse 12, on one occasion he spent the entire night praying to God. Now, I don't know about you. I wish I could have been there and to hear him praying. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall or on his shoulder and listening to what he was saying to his father. But in John 17, God gives us a glimpse of Jesus' prayer life. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. Because in John 17, we actually know some of the things he was praying about and thinking about and feeling. This was the prayer, obviously, before he got to the Garden of Gethsemane. When he got into Gethsemane, he prayed again. And the Bible tells us that he was in anguish. He was so stressed out that his sweat was like drops of blood, because he understood what he was about to go through. He had never been separated from God. He and God were always one. They've always been together. And for the first time, because of our sins, he was going to be separated from the Father. And he cried out in anguish. And we all know the passages. My God, why have you forsaken me? Not only had all his disciples deserted him, God also had to turn his back on him. Because God is so holy, he will not come in contact with sin. He will never come in contact with sin. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Amen? Amen? And he came into this world like Carl just read. And because of his blood, we have forgiveness of our sins. Nothing else in this world can do it. And so we got to come in contact with the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what the scriptures teach. Amen? Some have written that this is the greatest prayer ever prayed. Some say this is Jesus' prayer for us. And so let's read it in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Let's talk about Jesus' prayer before Gethsemane. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word." Notice, it didn't say they have believed your word. It said they have obeyed your word. It's all about obedience. "Now that you know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with you, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to die, so that scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them of the world, but that you protect the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Right, Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Awesome prayer. In chapter 17, we're basically given the essence of what Jesus was praying. I don't believe this was all he said. Because, you know, it took me, what, 3-4 minutes to read the entire thing? He prayed much longer than that. But we're given a Reader's Digest version, so to speak. The main points of what he was praying about. He uses the word Father 6 times in the prayer. I believe that's very significant. Because God is our Father. And I think a lot of times, even for us humans, we get messed up by this because I know a lot of us did not have, quote unquote, perfect fathers. If anything, your father was flawed. Mine was flawed too. And even as I'm standing here before you, I am a father, but I'm also flawed. Are you with me? But God is perfect. He's holy. He's a loving father. He's a loving dad. There's no one like him. Amen? So stop comparing your earthly father to your heavenly father. Stop insulting the Almighty. Amen? He's a father. When you go before him every day, he can't wait to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Are you with me? You know, a lot of us were fathers in here. And we have kids. And we love it. We want to converse with them. When they come to ask us things, we engage them. Why? Because we love them. You don't say, well, son, I don't have time right now. If you've been doing that, you need to stop it. Okay? Your kids need you. Our kids need us. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. And preaching the word, getting with people and all that. But let me tell you something. When that phone rings, and it's one of my kids, I will stop whatever it is I am doing and listen to them. Because they're my kids. Are you with me? I'm their father. You see, God is the same way. But he uses the word Father, referring to God, 6 times in this short passage. He also uses the word world 17 times in 25 verses. He talks about the world 17 times in 25 verses. I really believe one of the reasons he does this is because, you know what? The world has such an effect on us. The Bible teaches over and over again that, yeah, we live in the world, but we are not of this world. Are you with me? So he uses the word 17 times in 25 verses. But notice, he starts off by saying, Father, the time has come. Some other versions say, Father, the hour has come. He's getting ready to face the cross. After this period, came Gethsemane, same night. The arrest, his trial, the flogging, and eventually the crucifixion. It was for this moment that the great clock of time was set in motion. And says, Father, the hour has come. I mean, think about that for a second. Remember, like the passage tells us, God, even before the world was created. Imagine this stage that you are facing and you can see on. Imagine this stage being the beginning of time, before the beginning of time. In other words, heaven, where God is created, where God is dwelling and with Jesus and the angels and everything. And then, time begins. The world is created. And then this section of the auditorium comes into being. And he's saying, the hour has come. Now, we don't know, you know, some people tell us, you know, and I have no doubt, I'm not doubting them, that this world is, you know, several billions years old, whatever. I mean, I can't even comprehend those kind of numbers.
and to know that he existed way before them. He created time. He dwells above time. God does not have a wristwatch strapped to his wrist. He doesn't have one. Are you with me? He doesn't see time the way you and I do. Everything about his life was leading to this moment. He was about to fulfill his destiny. And he prays about four major things that I want to run through very quickly. Number one, he says, Father, glorify yourself. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. He tells us, he defines it for us, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. He defines what eternal life is. Says that they may know you. We have eternal life as Christians, as we're sitting here this morning. You have it already. Yes, there's a future aspect of it that we're yet to experience, which is heaven. Are you with me? The new Jerusalem. Again, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. I don't know everything we're going to be doing, but it's going to be great. I have no idea what we're going to be eating, but it's going to be awesome. Okay? And he says eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. The truth is, most of the world knows of God and they know of Jesus, but they don't really know God. How can you know God if you don't know your Bible? You are not going to learn about him from any place else. The more you get into the scriptures, and you and I put them to practice, the more we get to know God. Are you listening to me? You see, this book was given for our transformation. Not just something we pick up when we feel like it. Every time you open this book, you know God a little bit better. This being that created this world out of nothing and just says, let there be light. And bam! You see, all these galaxies just come from nowhere. I don't know about you, that's power. And that's the same God I call on every day. That's the same call God that you call on every day and throughout the day. Are you with me? And he says, but I want you to bring glory to yourself through me. And he says, you know what? I have brought you glory by completing the work for which you have given me. Wow. And then he goes, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I want you to ask a question. Can you really say this about your own life? Seriously. Remember, we're meant to be imitating Jesus. That's what a disciple is. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Can I say, can you say, I am doing and completing the work for which God put me on this earth in the first place? I think we have it twisted in the West. Your purpose in life, your mission in life is not to get up and go to your job. It's not even to raise your kids. It's not even to raise your grandkids. God put us on this earth to glorify him, to make him known. Amen? That's why we're here. And one day, scriptures teach that you and I are going to stand before him. One-on-one. I'm sorry, your Sunday school teacher is not going to be there. Your mom, your dad will not bail you out. I will stand before God on my own. And I will give an account of everything he's blessed me with in this life. to find out if I used it to bring glory to his name. And you and I are going to get one of two responses. I pray the response is, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come in and enjoy your master's happiness. Or it will be, take this worthless servant and cast him outside, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are all going to face it. We got to make sure that we are completing the job for which God put us on this earth in the first place. Amen? Amen. That was his first prayer. It says, Father, glorify yourself through me. And he was able to say, you know what? I have completed the task for which you sent me here. Remember, he said this before he got to Gethsemane, before he got to the cross. He was going to go through with it. No matter what. Was it easy? No. Guess what? It's not going to be easy for you either. Amen? Amen. It's not going to be easy for me either. The second thing that he prayed about, he basically said, Lord, protect your children. Let's go back to John 17. In verse 11, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. He says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. Verse 13, he says, I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Verse 15, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not. While Jesus was on earth, he said, you know what? He protected the disciples from the evil one. And at this point, he says, God, I'm coming to you. Protect them from the evil one. You and I are under attack every single day. The devil does not like you. He never has. He never will. Now, he will promise you a lot of stuff. But we have a formidable enemy. You remember 9/11? All the news, America under attack. It went on for days. I was in Africa at the time when it happened. Because something like that had never happened before. I think this country, we had a false sense of, you know, security, thinking, okay, we got the Pacific on one side protecting all that water. We got the Atlantic on the other side protecting all that water. You know, we're invincible. Until 9/11. It was horrible what those guys did. And we realized, you know what, we're very vulnerable. We're not as secure as we are, as we think we are. You realize that Satan every day is sitting there scheming, looking for ways every day to trip you up, to trip me up. Through your thoughts, your actions, and your deeds. And he's praying for us that God will protect us from the evil one. So all the struggles you and I go through, it's not by accident. You say, but Richard, I just want a life that is just peaceful, no headaches, no worries. You know, everything is just great. I want that too. It's called heaven. It's not here. And just like everybody else, you're going to have to wait to get there. You're going to have to hang in there and persevere to get to that point. Does that make sense? I mean, this world is a mess. Can you imagine living this life as tough as it is? 65, 70, 80, 90, whatever the Lord decides to give you, you know? And then you've gone through all this stuff, and then you don't make it to the other side. I mean, That would be terrible. Are you kidding me? To realize, okay, 60, 70, 80, 90 years is this much compared to eternity. It's not worth it. But we're under attack. Our marriages, our parenting, everything about us. It's a fight. Do you pray for God to protect you? Part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, lead me not into temptation. The cool thing is, every time we're tempted, the Bible tells us that God will always provide a way of escape for us. Amen? But we're under attack on a daily basis. Satan is the enemy. He's not your spouse. He's not your boss. The devil is the enemy. He's the one that's blind the mind of unbelievers, the Bible tells us. We are not of this world. You know, we sing that song around here many times. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. How often do you think about that? Seriously, every day when you wake up, say, you know what? I am not of this world. One day they're going to look for you and they will not find you. All they'll have on this side is your body. That's no longer functioning. You would have gone. It's going to be exciting. Where Satan can't touch you. Amen. Amen? Because his dominion is just over here. That's right. That's one of the reasons I can't wait to get to the other side. Amen. Will I miss you guys? Of course. Will I miss my wife? Of course. Will I miss my kids? Of course. But if I had a choice today, if God says, okay, do you want to live today? I will live today. I will. And give up all this. Yeah. In a heartbeat. You can have this mess. Amen? Amen. The other side is going to be much more incredible. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we're going to be doing there, but it gives us little glimpses. You know, the doctors tell me, and it is true, that I got high cholesterol, and so I'm on medication for it every day. And the last checkup I went for, he said, you know, Richard, you got to exercise, man. I said, okay. And I've started exercise before. I'll exercise in the past, and when I don't see any results, you know, I just go back to my eating the stuff I want to eat. And we'll have that conversation all over again. Say, you can't keep doing this. And so this time around, I said, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to have somebody hold me accountable. You know, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week and everything. And it's been great. Not only exercising, but also eating properly. I have eaten more goat food in the last month than I have my entire life. Okay, I consider salad goat food. And I say that to say, I'm so looking forward to getting to heaven. I don't know what we're going to be eating there, but I know I'm not going to be gaining weight. I haven't eaten French fries in over a month. Okay? And I love French fries. I know there are fries waiting for me on the other side that I'm going to eat as much as I want, and I'm not going to get any weight. That's my conviction, okay? But the point I'm making is the other side is much better than this one. And I'm excited. I've lost 14 pounds already. Okay? Don't clap, you know. I'm trying to get back to the weight I was 25 years ago. Okay? I weighed 200 pounds when I was in law school. That's my goal. I'm halfway there. I'm fired up. But I can tell you, I'm feeling better. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, man, I can't wait to get a six-pack. They said, well, you got a six-pack, you just don't know it's there. I said, you got a point on that one. You know, you got all the fire up front, so, you know, you can't see my six-pack. But I can't wait to get to the other side. And Jesus is saying, you know, Father, protect them from the evil one. This life is hard. It's challenging. Brothers and sisters, when we go through stuff, God knows you can handle it. If not, that challenge will not be there. Remember, Satan has to get permission before he even come out and tempt us. That's what the book of Job talks about. He has to get permission. And so whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is I'm going through, God knows I can handle it if I depend on him. Are you with me? But he says, protect your children. Number three, he says, sanctify your children. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He says, sanctify them by the truth. That word in the Greek is hagaizo. H-A-G-I-A-Z-O. Like you Americans would say. Okay, in England they say Z. H-A-G-I-A-Z-O, okay? It means to be separate, to be set apart, to be made holy. That's what God did when he called us into his kingdom. He sanctified us. He set us apart. He separated us. Are you with me? God created us and set us apart for his purpose. The word holy comes from the same Greek root, hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S, which means to be pure, to be blameless, or a saint. In a manner of speaking, this is a message according to St. Richard. That's what I'm doing this morning. Are you with me? You're a saint if you're a Christian. Okay? We don't have to wait for several years and for some miracle to be performed, and then you're quote-unquote, you know, you attain sainthood. We don't believe that nonsense. Okay? I know some people do. But this room is full of saints this morning, according to Scripture. Amen? Amen? Amen. Good conversation starter. Somebody say, what's your name? I'm St. Richard. You're going to have to explain that one. See, that's your opening right there. Say, I'm a Christian. The Bible says I'm a saint. But we've been set apart. We've been sanctified, set apart for a task just like Jesus. One day we will return to the one who sent us here. Amen? Amen? But we've been set apart for a reason. I don't know about you. It's great to be chosen. Do you remember? I'm sure you, maybe it's just me. I'm sure you experienced this when you were growing up. You know, you're out there playing on the playground, whether it's soccer or basketball, and they're picking sides. And here you are, just like me. I mean, I wasn't very good at any of these things. And they're choosing guys, you know. They're choosing the guys that are very good first. Oh, you on my team. The other guys say, you on my team. And you're standing there. And everybody's going to be chosen. And then, you know, your friend who's doing the choosing, say, hey, you're with me. And he knows you can't play a lick, but he chooses you anyway. It feels good. Because you feel like you belong. But this is not just any club. This ain't the country club in West Palm Beach. This is the club of all clubs. The club that belongs to the King of the universe. That's why you and I have been chosen to be a part of. We were sanctified. If that doesn't put a bounce in your step, you got some serious issues. And I think we got to see ourselves every day the way God sees us. Not the way the world sees us. See, the world looks at you and looks at me and goes, look at that babbler. He needs to be quiet. They're about to find out who I am in a few years. They will. Are you with me? In your office, do you realize that you're the most important person in that building? As a child of God? As somebody that's been set apart and sanctified? God not only took you out and then deposited his spirit inside of you as a guarantee, the Bible says, of what is to come. Hold your head up high. You got nothing to be ashamed of. Now, if your conduct doesn't match what you claim to be, then you need to repent. Amen. Because you're giving God a bad name. Amen? Amen? But we've been sanctified. That's why, honestly, I don't understand when Christians say, you know what? Oh, this person intimidates me. What did he just say? Another human intimidates you? You should be the one that's doing the intimidating. If God could open his eyes and see the angels surrounding you, they would be quaking in their boots. Because the Bible says, greater is the power that is within us than the one that's out there. Amen? Amen. What are you afraid of? You should wake up in the morning and the devil starts quaking. Oh, he's woken up. Oh, boy. You should start walking down the street. The devil sees you coming, he just takes off. Say, oh, I'm not going to mess with him today. I'm not going to mess with her today. Oh, boy, let me go find somebody else. That's the way it ought to be. Satan knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows we're set apart. I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's not as if we're walking around with halos around our heads. But he sees something. He sees the Spirit of God. And he's intimidated. But guess what? When you're not plugged into the vine, you got no power. That's when he's going to come and mess you up. Amen? But he prayed that we'll be sanctified. And finally, number four. He says, unite your children. A lot of times when we talk about John 17, this is where we go very quickly. And it is true. We need to be united. God prayed for our unity as Christians. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus was praying for you. He was praying for me. Even back in John 17. I wasn't back there. You and I have heard his message through all these guys that have lived through the ages. Are you with me? But he was praying for us. He was praying for our youth. Because we're arrogant human beings. We think our way is the best way. Unity is not easy. This country is divided. That cannot be in the church of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you were raised Caucasian. It doesn't matter if you were raised Latin. It doesn't matter if you were raised African American. It doesn't matter if you were raised Caribbean. We're one in Jesus.
Amen.
You say, what's the answer to all the division in this country? It's in the scriptures. So when they see you and I living it out, they're going to say, you know what? There's something to this. You know, I was joking with Mark Vogt. He does our sound back in the booth. And he just came back from out of town. And I said, I said, Mark, when are you going to take me on one of these trips, man? I said, come on, man. He's always going to all these, you know, nice exotic places. And, you know, I said, when are you going to take me with you? Obviously, me and my wife, he can't take me alone. And he goes, you know, it's just family. You know? I said, you're my brother from another mother. My name is Richard Vogt. Just tell him, you know, when your father was posted somewhere, you know, he had a child in Africa, and that's me. Now, he's white and I'm black. It's okay. But we're family. We're united. You don't see that in the world. They're not going to solve this issue in Congress. They never will. It's only through Jesus that we can have this kind of unity. Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our status in life, regardless of our sex or whatever, it's only in Christ. But he prayed for that unity. He says that's how the world will know that we're disciples of Jesus. Amen? It's awesome. I'll never forget, I'm going to close with this. I'll never forget when we started our church in Johannesburg, South Africa. When that church was started, it was illegal for blacks and whites to meet together. Apartheid had not been lifted. We said, we're going to do it anyway. We went over there, blacks and whites, started meeting together, started converting people. And I never forget, obviously, later on, apartheid came down, and Dr. Mark Altenweller had a chance to meet Mandela and be involved in the Mandela Foundation, all that kind of stuff, with all the work he was doing with AIDS. And at some point, the conversation of the Johannesburg Church of Christ came up. And he actually thought about that church. He said, I don't know what's going on in that church, but whatever is going on in there is the solution for this country. You know, it's always, you know, you come to the church and they sing all the songs. You see they're doing the Zulu songs like Siku Riwana, and you see all these white Afrikaners and they're trying to clap and they're trying to move. I mean, it's a sight to behold. And they are into it. And then when they're doing the Afrikaner songs, you see the blacks, I mean, singing along. I mean, it's just incredible. It's only through Jesus that that's even possible. The same thing in this country. The same thing in this church. I don't look like you. I don't sound like you. I know you don't believe me. This voice is, I'm deep, deep undercover. Okay? I work for a certain branch of the government that you don't need to know anything about. Somebody's got to keep an eye on you guys. But you see, I'm not from here. I don't sound like I'm from here. But we're one. Amen? Amen? That's what it's all about. That unity. That's what Jesus prayed for. Amen? Amen? And so if you say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can learn to love whites or learn to love black people or learn to love Latin people. Well, you just don't know what they did to me or what this person said. Yeah, hey. That may be true. Somebody may have done something to you. You don't blame an entire race for that. Are you with me? You can't take that out on a whole race. Get over yourself. Now, if you can find that guy or whatever, you need to go deal with that stuff. But for goodness sake, this is what Jesus died for. And in closing, I've said this one, I'll say it again. These are the kind of people you're going to spend the rest of eternity with. You better start loving them now. You better start learning to dance like them now. You better start learning how to clap like them or talk like them. Because this is all you're going to see for eternity. Or you wait till we get there. And then you start meeting some people from the Far East. I'm looking forward to be able to understand their language. Because right now, it just sounds like a bunch of noise to me. But all those things mean something. That's what it's all about. Every tribe, every nation, every language will be there. Amen? Amen. And so I will never apologize for what we've got. Amen. This is the way it is supposed to be. Amen, church? Amen. That was Jesus' prayer for us. That we will glorify God. That God will protect us, God will sanctify us, and that God will unite us. Oh, I'm so glad to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's awesome. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just hang in there, amen? God bless.
Dear God, thank you so much, God, for bringing us here today, God, safely, God, to worship you, to pray to you, to sing to you, to glorify your name, God. God, I pray that our hearts were softened this morning, God, and receptive for the lessons that we learn. As Gary, God, teachers taught us about 1 Peter and submission and obedience. As Carl took us to the cross and challenged us, God, to examine our life and to try to live a life that represents your Son. Thank you so much for Richard and the last prayer that Jesus prayed, God, before he made the ultimate sacrifice, and how much you love us, God. God, I pray that we impress all these lessons that we learned this morning, God, on our hearts. And I pray that we put on the full armor, God, as we face the devil this coming week. God, I pray right now for our brothers and sisters from the North River Church. I pray, God, that you shower them with your blessings. I pray, God, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I got one announcement. We love you very much, but the choir have rehearsal right now. So please, if you could take your fellowship outside, we'll appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming.